What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always by my co-host, David Drogemeyer. We are two writers who got our start at San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers now for over five seasons, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, which airs weekly on Facebook during the season. And now this is our third season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. What is up, guys? Hope you guys all enjoyed your three-day weekend. And we're happy to be back with you guys today. And as it has been the last few weeks, today's episode is brought to you by our favorite sponsors over at BuiltBar.com. Built Bar are the best protein bars on the planet. And right now you can get $10 off any box at BuiltBar.com. And since it's Memorial Day weekend, you can even save an additional $5 off every box of bars. But we have a fun show for you guys today, a really fun show. We are going to be starting with the news of Hunter Henry opening up on Sirius Radio on the NFL channel about his new quarterback, Justin Herbert, and what it's like to play on a franchise tag and how he's feeling about all that. And then in the second segment, I think we have a really fun segment planned for you guys because we're going to be doing a time machine segment where we take a time machine back to 1995 when the Chargers last were in a Super Bowl and talk about just how much different everything was then, the Chargers' path to that Super Bowl and everything else. So that should be a lot of fun. And then we'll wrap the show up by getting into a list by CBS Sports talking about the NFL's best triplets. So that's the running backs and receivers or tight ends and quarterbacks and how the Chargers rank against the rest of the league. So, David, let's go ahead and get into it. Over the weekend, Los Angeles Chargers tight end Hunter Henry opened up about playing on a franchise tag and also catching passes from his new quarterback. This is Daniel Wade joined by David Drogemeyer with your Locked On Chargers lead story. Chargers tight end Hunter Henry joined the SiriusXM NFL channel over the weekend, and he had a lot to talk about, but the one thing he talked about first was just playing on a franchise tag. The Chargers decided to tag Hunter Henry this offseason to make sure he was not able to test the open market in free agency to make sure to keep him for at least one more season. Both sides have said that they're still trying to work out a deal, and the Chargers have until July 15th to get a multi-year contract extension done. But it's still not the best for players who want those long-term deals. They don't want to be on one-year deals, even though it is fully guaranteed. Hunter Henry does want a contract extension, which a lot of times can lead to animosity at times between the player and the franchise. But when he was asked about playing on this contract, David, he said it's fine. He's not stoked about it. He's not super happy about it, but he doesn't seem like he's going to hold out. He doesn't seem like he is not going to sign a contract extension. It seems like at this point he's fine with it while still wanting to get a deal done.
Well, of course he wants to get a deal done, Daniel. I mean, you got to think about in this career, in this profession, in the NFL, your shelf life is undetermined. You don't know how long you're going to be able to go out there and continue to earn game checks because one bad injury could spell the end of your career and the snap of a finger and the blink of an eye. You just don't know. So, of course, he said, hey, I want to get a long-term contract done. I want some security. I also want to stay with the Chargers, the organization who drafted me. He said he likes everything that's been going on. And, I mean, it's not like he's not going to make a decent amount of money on this franchise tag. He's going to make $10.6 million. So there's definitely a considerable amount of money there, but that's only for 1 year. So, obviously, a long-term contract is something that he is interested in, and the Chargers should be interested as well. Although he did say at the end, Daniel, that although they had some conversations and they thought that they were getting close to a deal, he mentions that right now they have not really communicated much.
And that's not necessarily a surprising thing at this point. And I think it's fair to wonder if Hunter Henry had been healthier during his first four season, if the deal would have gotten done. He has not played a full 16-game season. The most games he's played in was his rookie year when he played in 15 games. And every other season besides that, he's had injuries take him out of some of those games, including 2018, where he missed the entire season. But the other thing he talked about was catching passes from rookie quarterback Justin Herbert, who the Chargers took with the sixth overall pick. He talked about it saying, I've gotten to talk to him hang out with him a little bit. I've actually thrown with him. Him being here in California has been kind of nice, so I've worked out with him, which is great news because we don't know if Hunter Henry is going to be here in the long term, but it is always important to get that chemistry down with a quarterback and his receivers and tight ends. And even during this time, David, they still have been able to get some work done, which is promising.
It's definitely promising, Daniel, because you think about him wanting to get some chemistry down with the Chargers' new quarterback, who might not even start for the Chargers this year. It's great to know that he's working out with him, and he did say he's got a great arm. Obviously, he went first round, sixth pick for a reason. He's very, very talented. Obviously, the mental side of the game will be the biggest thing. I mean, that is the biggest difference. Obviously, they also mentioned the speed of the game being much different when you jump from the college ranks to the NFL. And Justin Herbert can be touted because of his mind. He won the award for the academic Heisman in college, but there's no telling if that is going to translate from the college ranks to the NFL. But he also mentioned he is a big believer in Tyrod Taylor as well. He said he's looking forward to seeing what he brings to us this year. So it's good that he worked out with Justin Herbert, but he also has confidence in what Tyrod Taylor is going to be able to bring to the table this year as well.
And I think he has to say that because Tyrod Taylor is probably going to be the starter week one when the season opens up. And we might see Justin Herbert throwing to Hunter Henry at some point this season. We really don't know. So that connection could really be important. But I think you're right. You have to say that about the quarterback who is going to be probably throwing you the most passes this season. And I think that's how everyone is feeling about Tyrod Taylor right now. The people in this organization really, really believe in Tyrod Taylor being this team's quarterback in 2020. And now you're hearing it being backed up by the players. And going into your first year as a starter, if you're a Tyrod Taylor, that's the one thing you want to have the most is your coaches believing you and your teammates believing in you as well. But we do have two more segments to get into. We're going to hop into the time machine and go back to 1995 coming up in the next segment before wrapping things up with the NFL's best triplets. But just like that, I've gotten hungry. And right now I have to tell you guys about the best protein bar on the planet. And of course, I am talking about Built Bar. And the reason I love Built Bars so much, guys, is because not only are they very health conscious, but they also taste like a candy bar. They have 16 amazing flavors that were already out, and we even have more flavors because just recently they just released the peanut butter banana flavor, the pineapple upside down cake flavor, coconut pecan pie, and blueberry lemon as well. These are the best protein bars you can get, guys. Just to give you an example, the peanut butter brownie flavor has 20 grams of protein with only 3 grams of sugar and 170 calories. And right now we have a better offer even than we've had the last few weeks for you guys. For Memorial Day weekend, right now you can still save the $10 by using the promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, on your order at BuiltBar.com. But you can also get an additional $5 off during Memorial Day week. That is $15 off your box at BuiltBars.com. There's never been a better chance to try the best protein bar on the planet, guys. So go ahead and make sure to support us by buying some Built Bars and saving $15 right now with the promo code LOCKEDON. All right, guys. So one of the things the Locked On Podcast Network is doing this week is doing a time machine theme for the week. So one of the things that we wanted to do for this was look back at some of the major seasons of the Chargers and talk about how the world was a lot different than who were the big players for the Chargers during those seasons. What did those seasons look like and how did they transpire, as well as just looking at, you know, the biggest song during that time, who was president, and all of those things. So I thought the best year to start with right now would be the Chargers' last year that they were in a Super Bowl. So it was the 1994 season, but the Super Bowl happened in 1995. So we're going to focus on that season and that year. So just to give you a little idea before we get into the seasons, David, about just how different things were during those times. So when the Chargers were last in a Super Bowl in 1995, the president was Bill Clinton with Vice President Al Gore. The price of gas was only $1.15, and the number one song on Billboard's Hot Top 100 list was Gangsta's Paradise by Coolio. I mean, there's just so many crazy things, David. That's how long it's been since the last time the Chargers have been in a Super Bowl.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman. No, I'm just kidding. It's crazy to think about that the Chargers were last in a Super Bowl in 1995. When they were in the Super Bowl, Daniel, I was 3 years old. So it's pretty crazy to think about that. But wow, did they have some absolutely incredible players and really even more luck.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, that season for the Chargers was very special. And a couple other things, just to give you an idea of how long ago this was the year that Toy Story went live. I mean, this is the year that eBay started. I mean, that's how long ago we're talking about. Michael Jordan was still technically playing baseball when the Chargers were last in the Super Bowl before he quit the next month in March. So getting to the season itself,
gas was $1.20 a gallon.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing maybe I'd bring back over all of these things. But looking at the season, obviously the Chargers went to the Super Bowl and they got smoked 49-26 by the 49ers. But I don't think we focus enough on just how they got there, David, because I know you talked about the fact before the show that the Chargers started 6-0 that season, but only ended up 11-5. So they really kind of backed their way into the playoffs, but were still able to get a first-round bye. And the games they had that led up to that Super Bowl were absolutely insane. In the divisional round, you go up against Dan Marino, who obviously, you know, one of the best quarterbacks of all time. And the Chargers actually were getting beat in that game 21-6 midway through the third quarter and came back to win the game 22-21. I mean, an absolute crazy game, a thriller. And the Chargers ended up being one of the reasons that Dan Marino never got that elusive Super Bowl.
Yeah, and wow, it still boggles my mind that the guy who had so much incredible natural talent like Dan Marino never got a Super Bowl championship. But I think that plays in Philip Rivers' card, too. I know he's not the Chargers quarterback anymore, but obviously,
many people think he's, you know, maybe the second best quarterback to not win a Super Bowl, potentially.
Exactly. And that's why I bring that up. And that's why I say, hey.
Or to at least never make it to a Super Bowl either.
Right. And that's what I'm saying with Philip is his stats speak volumes for his case to be in the Hall of Fame. And that's exactly what happened with Dan Marino. If you're saying Dan Marino is a Hall of Famer, then you have to say Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer, too. But yeah. The fact that they were able to come back in that game was just kind of a tale of how the rest of their playoff sequences were going to go. But one thing I want to bring up before we kind of jump further into that was some of the parallels that that team has that the current Chargers team has right now. The one big thing that screams out to me is they had a pair of pass rushers that tore the house down in 1994 as well. And, you know, you look at those two guys, it's just crazy. Leslie O'Neal, 12.5 sacks, and then you got Chris Mims, who had 11 sacks, and then you even throw in Sean Lee and Junior Seau, who had 5.5 and 6.5 respectively. So they could absolutely get after the quarterback, and they did it with great success.
Well, that's one of the crazy things. I mean, they had a pretty good defense that season. They definitely had a lot of talented players on that defense, to say the least. But yeah, some of the other main guys from that season were Stan Humphries. The running back was Natrone Means. The wide receiving core that year definitely wasn't spectacular, but they had guys like Sean Jefferson and Tony Martin as well. But the next week in the playoffs, they ended up going up against the number one seed in the AFC, which were the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that game was crazy as well, because the Chargers trailed 13-3 in the second half before scoring 14 unanswered points off of 2 40-plus yard touchdown passes from Stan Humphries. So another game, the Chargers down in the second half, come back to win and make it to the Super Bowl. When you look at that game, though, the Steelers outgained the Chargers 415 yards of offense to 226, but the Steelers had 8 penalties for 111 yards, and that really is the ultimate equalizer. The Chargers come back, get 2 late touchdowns, and the one guy that really kept the Chargers in it defensively in that game was Junior Seau, who you look back and he had 16 tackles, David, to get the Chargers to the Super Bowl.
Seau, my goodness, what a performance. That type of game right there, Junior saying, hey guys, get on my back. I'm taking you to the Super Bowl. We are going there. No questions asked. No excuses. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to get us there. And he did that. The fact that the Steelers outgained them pretty much double their offensive output, and they still lost with a quarterback that was a sixth round pick that only threw for 3,200 plus yards and 17 TDs with 12 interceptions, that's just absolutely insane. You don't really see that in today's game, and that's really one of the bigger differences between quarterbacks now and quarterbacks then. That performance is not stellar then, and it wouldn't be stellar now, but they did what they had to do. He did what he had to do to get the Chargers to the Super Bowl. Just enough, Daniel.
Yeah, and I think that was kind of the story of this team. I mean, it wasn't an overwhelming powerhouse team by any means. And I think most people have heard the story of the Super Bowl. The Chargers lose 49-26. I mean, by halftime, they were already down 28-10. So, I mean, the game itself was never really that close. But there are some things that you probably didn't know about it. I mean, including this was the first Super Bowl in which both teams scored in all four quarters. The combined aggregate score of 75 points and then 10 total touchdowns were Super Bowl records. And the 18.5 points is the largest margin a team has been favored by in a Super Bowl to this day. So even though, I mean, the Chargers obviously were in the Super Bowl, but that was a kind of a miracle season for them, a Cinderella story, if you would, where the magic just seemed to run out because it didn't seem like anybody really gave them a chance going up against Steve Young and Jerry Rice and all of those guys. But just to give you some more perspective of just that playoffs, I mean, the Patriots were knocked out by the Cleveland Browns that year. That's probably something you don't know about that playoff run for the Chargers in the same playoffs. I mean, think about that. The Cleveland Browns knocked out the New England Patriots. That's just, I mean, hilarious to think about in 2020. But, I mean, just a crazy game, David, that the Chargers never really, you know, were supposed to ever be at. They were never supposed to be in that game. But I don't think that really takes away from the special season that the Chargers had.
No, it didn't take away from the special season that the Chargers had. They had all the breaks go their way. They had some spectacular individual performances. And, you know, the clock just struck midnight at the Super Bowl. I think they were going into a buzzsaw. They were going up against one of the best teams in NFL history. And it showed. I mean, Steve Young, Jerry Rice, they just ran through the Chargers like there was nobody there. But the fact that they were actually able to get there and, you know, that they're the only Chargers team that has represented the organization in the Super Bowl since has to speak volumes for what this organization has done since then and what kind of season they had in 1994 and 1995.
And I think we can all kind of just be like, all right, well, now it's time, right? I mean, 25 years is long enough. It's time for the Chargers to make another run, get back to the Super Bowl, and obviously that's always what we're all hoping for here. But I thought this was definitely just a fun way to look back at such a special season for the Chargers and such a crazy run, because I think most people just think of that Super Bowl run and just remember getting smoked by the 49ers without really realizing the magic that actually led them to that point. I mean, the fact that they were basically a mismatched group of misfits that, you know, made an incredible run to get to a Super Bowl, and the Chargers really haven't been that close to getting back there since then. So obviously a very special season in 1995, and we'll continue this time machine segment going on later on in the week. We'll talk about some other really historic seasons and how the world was so much different in those years. But we do have one more segment to get into, talking about the NFL's top triplets coming up right after this. All right, David, well, I want to get into an article by CBS Sports talking about the NFL's top triplets. And I don't know if there's actually been any triplets that have made the NFL. I mean, talking about siblings, but this is talking about the combination of your best wide receiver or tight end, your quarterback, and your running back. And I will preface this by saying, just like the article does that, this article itself is weighted by quarterbacks. So quarterbacks definitely carry a higher value than the running back and the tight end or the wide receiver that is mentioned. But the Chargers end up coming onto this list at number 20. So, David, in a vacuum, number 20, I mean, it's okay. Obviously, Austin Ekeler and Keenan Allen are the guys that they mentioned. This is how the grading went. They gave Tyrod Taylor a 5, Austin Ekeler a 7, and Keenan Allen an 8. So, on the surface, that kind of makes sense. There might be some little gripes, but wait till we get to the teams that are above them. That's when we'll start maybe having some issues. But number 20, it doesn't seem outrageous, but it definitely seems like they should be higher.
It definitely seems like they should be higher to me. I don't see why they're in the bottom half of the league with those skill players, especially with what Austin Ekeler has done lately and what Keenan's done consistently the last couple of years and just his pedigree. I mean, when we start talking about some of these other teams, like you mentioned, and how they rank those players, it seems like Keenan is getting a little bit disrespected, especially.
It definitely does. I think Keenan definitely has the biggest gripe. But then you look at some of the other teams, David. The Panthers are ahead of him with Teddy Bridgewater, Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore. And then the Colts are ahead of them with Phillip Rivers, Jonathan Taylor, who's still pretty unproven, and T.Y. Hilton. So you look at those, I would take Keenan Allen, obviously, over DJ Moore and T.Y. Hilton. Christian McCaffrey, I will give them, obviously, over Austin Ekeler, even though as receivers, they're pretty close together. But Teddy Bridgewater, Tyrod Taylor, they're about the same. And then Phillip Rivers, obviously, he's a better quarterback. We're not arguing that, but doesn't mean he's necessarily going to have the best season.
It definitely doesn't mean that Phillip Rivers is going to have the better year. I mean, he's 38 years old. You don't know what he's going to bring to the table at this point, although you do factor in the fact that Indianapolis has a much better offensive line than he probably ever had with the Chargers, to be quite frank.
Definitely.
But Jonathan Taylor has done nothing in the league. He is a rookie, so I don't even know how he's in the conversation. I mean, honestly, they probably should have had Marlon Mack in here instead of Jonathan Taylor. I mean, Jonathan Taylor has a great pedigree coming out of college, at least for offensive production, but he has a huge fumbling problem. And for me, that was one of the reasons why I took him off of my board completely. And then T.Y. Hilton, I think T.Y. Hilton versus Keenan Allen, which one would you rather have? I think you're taking Keenan Allen all day long and twice on Sunday. And I'm sure Phillip Rivers would take Keenan Allen over T.Y. as well. And then when you go back to the Panthers, I think it's definitely a thing of what have you done for me lately? And the fact that he had that Teddy Bridgewater had his little cup of coffee with the Saints and he did very well. Now, reminder, the Saints had an incredible team on both sides of the ball, on offense and defense. He is not stepping into that same situation with the Panthers. So I think if you're expecting to see the very same Teddy Bridgewater, I'm sorry, you're going to be mistaken. Obviously, you can't take anything away from Christian McCaffrey. He is an absolute monster, one of the best players in the NFL. But I think if you talk about touches, I mean, the guy got the ball all the time. I mean, obviously, he's phenomenal. So, and when you look at the other weapons on the Panthers, they didn't really have many other options. But, hey, give it to Christian McCaffrey and let him do his thing, which he did a lot. I think if Austin Eckler had the similar amount of touches, I think the numbers might not be too much different than what they are now. So I definitely have some gripes with those guys, but my gripes don't stop there.
Well, yeah, and the Panthers are 19, the Colts are 18, the Chargers are 20. So it's not as if there's a huge gap, at least in CBS Sports mind, between these teams. But I still think there's definitely a legitimate argument for the Chargers in both of those cases. So now moving up the list, you have teams like the Lions, who have Matthew Stafford, another unproven but very talented running back in DeAndre Swift, and Kenny Galladay. So I think the biggest gripe with this one, David, obviously Matthew Stafford has done it in this league. DeAndre Swift has not, and DeAndre Swift is only a 5 to Austin Eckler, who gets a 7 in this, which is obviously really good. I mean, I'm not arguing with that, but to have Kenny Galladay and Keenan Allen both be 8s, I like Kenny Galladay. I mean, he's definitely a better red zone receiver than Keenan Allen, but I think that's kind of where it stops. I don't think he's better really at anything else, maybe jump balls, than Keenan Allen is. And Keenan Allen's, I think, a much more well-rounded receiver. So I get Matthew Stafford. DeAndre Swift is a 5, so it's not like they're saying he's as good as Austin Eckler, but to put them at 17, I think you could definitely make an argument for the Chargers.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely a gripe there. And that was one of the ones I was talking about specifically. I'm sorry, Kenny Galladay. I like you too. I think you're a great player, but you're not in the same stratosphere as Keenan Allen. I think especially Keenan Allen doing it over the last several years, consistently playing every single day, being out there, breaking ankles, being the vice president of the Always Getting Open Club, as the writer of the article pointed out, and just love his attitude and his swagger that he brings every single day in practices, when he's tackling Rams players to the ground in scrimmages, when he's on social media, just how he talks, how he carries himself. I'm sure he's a locker room favorite. Keenan Allen is a monster, and I just think that if he didn't have those fluky injuries in the beginning of his career, you would be seeing Keenan Allen, and everyone else for that matter, would be seeing Keenan Allen in a much different light. Because he's with the Chargers, he gets slept on. If he's over on the East Coast where ESPN is and all the other coverage places, he would be absolutely one of the biggest stars on the planet. But because he's with the Chargers, he's a little bit slept on, and unfortunately, that is a big theme throughout the Chargers organization. Another guy comes to mind, Casey Hayward. I don't understand how Casey Hayward is so slept on the way he is. Keenan Allen, Casey Hayward in the same boat. They deserve more respect. If Galladay is an 8, then Keenan Allen should be a 10.
Well, yeah, David, and we didn't have a huge argument for Kenny Galladay being an 8, but if he's an 8, then Keenan Allen absolutely should be a 9. I mean, that's how high he is, at least in my mind, as far as wide receivers go. And then the last one I wanted to talk about in this was the Cardinals, who are 9 spots ahead of the Chargers with Kyler Murray, Kenyon Drake, and DeAndre Hopkins. So Kyler Murray, I mean, I get it. You know, I mean, he definitely is very talented. He had a pretty good season rating on a rookie grading scale. And I like what he, you know, is able to do a lot. And he was the number one overall pick. Let's not pretend like that doesn't have anything to do with it. But Kenyon Drake here is a 7, which is the same as Austin Eckler. And I think he had a little bit more success on the ground last season with the Cardinals. But it's not like Kenyon Drake has just had this overwhelmingly good career. I mean, he really struggled before the Cardinals in Miami. He had one really good bounce back season to the point that the Cardinals got rid of their former star running back, David Johnson. And they also traded for DeAndre Hopkins. And Hopkins in this is a 9. I'm not going to really, you know, argue that Keenan Allen's better than DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins has been doing it a long time, but I don't think there's that much of a difference. I think that DeAndre Hopkins is definitely a step above, but I don't think it's very much of a drop off to Keenan Allen. And for this one, I mean, Kyler Murray, he haven't really even had as good of a season as Tyrod Taylor yet. Tyrod Taylor has led a team to the playoffs, and that team was the Buffalo Bills, who had like a 15-year streak of not making it to the playoffs. So Kyler Murray's, you know, first season is basically Tyrod Taylor's worst season as a starter, and they're putting him at a 7 and have, you know, Tyrod Taylor as a 5. So you're talking about guys that are getting slept on. I think out of all these guys, David, really the guy who's getting slept on the most is Tyrod Taylor, because I don't think he's a below average quarterback. I don't think he's a big risk taker or any of those things. And this thing mentions, you know, Tyrod Taylor being one of the main reasons the Chargers are ranked where they are. But at the same time, give me Austin Eckler all day over Kenyon Drake. I think Keenan Allen, DeAndre Hopkins is kind of eh. And I think Kyler Murray and Tyrod Taylor, it's not as big of a gap as you would think, at least as far as what they've actually been able to accomplish on an NFL field.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at all-purpose yards between Kenyon Drake and Austin Eckler blows him out of the water. I mean, Kenyon Drake's a better rusher. He had 828 rushing yards, but he's not anywhere close to him as a receiver. Austin Eckler
on a lot more attempts, too. I mean, right, he had way exactly. more attempts than Eckler did, for sure.
Yeah, exactly, and he was a feature back. I mean, Austin Eckler was a part of a running back by committee approach, sure. So he didn't get all the touches. But you saw what he was able to do with the touches that he got. That's why I mentioned all-purpose yards, because both of these type of players are all-purpose type of guys. And if you look at it in that vacuum, then Austin Eckler is head and shoulders above. And Kyler Murray, I like Kyler Murray, but he's a rookie, and he's done it one time in his career. Once. So for me, with quarterbacks especially, you got to prove it to me. You got to show it to me. Show me that you're able to do it consistently year over year over year. That's why I think, and I know this is off topic, but Dak Prescott is crazy for his contract demands. He had one good year where he had over 30 touchdowns and 5,000 yards, but that was it. You look at the rest of his stats, they're very pedestrian. I'd like to see, and that's why I think Kyler Murray needs to stack season after season after season together before he deserves this type of respect. And yeah, I don't understand why people are so – I think people have the Browns version of Tyrod Taylor sure. in their mind, and they forget what he did in Buffalo and what he did with the limited talent that he had. Now you – and I've brought this up before, but I have to make sure that people understand – he has more weapons than he's ever had in his career. So I'd like to see what he's able to do with this cadre of weapons that he's never had before. Like, seriously, he's got crazy good weapons. I want to see what the stat line looks like. And also, I just want to see him shut everybody up. Everyone is saying, hey, Tyrod sucks, or he's not great. Don't know what to think about him. You know, what is he going to be able to provide? We all have those questions. I'm sure Tyrod Taylor has those questions too. But allow him to go out there and show you what he's capable of doing. I mean, it's a new year. It's a new opportunity. Tyrod Taylor can go out there and blow everybody out of the water, shut their mouths, and maybe secure himself a contract. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the goal. And, I mean, all of this stuff is pretty circumstantial. It's the off season. You know, we're arguing over NFL triplets. Which is pretty dumb in general, but I do think that the Chargers are getting slept on a little bit, and I think that the Chargers' top three is obviously getting dragged down by Tyrod Taylor, probably more than it should, but that's the great thing about it is they should have the opportunity, like you said, to prove everyone wrong, and I think that's what all three of these guys will be inspired to do, and I'm myself very, very excited to watch it, and I think it'll be a whole new set of triplets next year when Justin Herbert takes over, but that is going to do it for today's But that is going to do it for today's show, guys. Thank you to everyone for coming in and listening, whether it's your first time or you're a returning listener. We really appreciate it. Thanks to our sponsors at Built Bar who have sponsored us this entire month. We really appreciate that. But until next time, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC. Make sure to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us on Apple Podcasts or following us on Spotify. We would really appreciate it. We want to do a voicemail show soon, but the only voicemails we have right now are from Zach Shelton. We need a couple more. We need some variety in there. Thank you, Zach, for the calls. I promise we will get to them. But the number is 323-524-7924. Every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. But we'll be back with you guys tomorrow. As always, until then, take it easy and go Bolts.